Please be seated. When I was researching this gospel for this morning's sermon, I read something that I just could not stop thinking about. Does God talk to you that way? Never stops talking to you until you get it. Anyway, the best-selling author, John Acuff, wrote this. It's amazing that we Christians have managed to make a guy who turned water into wine at a party seem boring. Do you think Jesus is boring? If you do, please let me know why and what we can do to help you realize that Jesus is anything but boring. If nothing else, let's just reflect on the parables. They are a hoot. The one last week was crazy. Probably one of the most difficult parables to understand in order to write a sermon. However, Reverend Dan did a great job, and it certainly was not boring. Today's gospel, although pretty straightforward and simple in its message, I found discomforting and comforting, amazing and yucky, perplexing and eye-opening, anything but boring. A boring person will put you to sleep. Jesus wakes me up, makes me think, challenges me, entertains me, inspires me, condemns me, teaches me. However you find our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, if you find him boring, let's talk. Today, Jesus uses this parable to talk to us loud and clear. I can almost hear him shouting to me, "Poor people need to be taken care of." He uses not a merchant to pay no attention to the poor person, but he uses a loud voice. He used a very, very rich person, usually called a dives, which is Latin for rich. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. That is the description of the robes of high priests. He feasted in luxury every day, which meant every day he ate gourmet, exotic, and costly dishes. And Jesus didn't use just a plain old beggar, but with a resounding voice, Jesus made this beggar not only poor, but was full of ulcerated sores, which the dogs would come and lick. Was the beggar not strong enough to shoo the dogs away? Or perhaps the dog licking soothed the beggar's sores? That was the yucky part. Now I think we have the picture. This wealthy man never helped Lazarus, and when he died, he treated Lazarus as a servant. "Send Lazarus to me that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue." And Jesus did one more thing to set the stage. He gave the beggar a name. In all of Jesus' parables, he never formally named anyone. They were father, son, daughter, woman, wife, so on. However, in today's gospel, he gave the beggar a name, Lazarus. Jesus, again, is shouting here. Poor people should receive respect. They have a name. So the stage is set, and then they die. Next scene, Hades and heaven. The rich man is burning up, and Lazarus is with Abraham, comfortable and cool, surrounded by babbling brooks. Get the picture? The roles have definitely changed. Lazarus is in glory, and the rich man is in torment. What is Jesus trying to tell us? Well, besides the obvious, what was the sin of the rich man? He had not ordered Lazarus to be removed from his gate. He had made no objections to his receiving the bread that was flung in his direction after he was eating. He did not kick him when passing him by. He was not deliberately cruel to him. The sin of the rich man was that he never noticed Lazarus. That he accepted him as part of the landscape. Anne thought it perfectly natural and inevitable that Lazarus should lie in pain and hunger while he wallowed in luxury. It could be said that the rich man went to hell not because of what he did, but what he did not do. He could look at the world's suffering and need and feel no grief or pity. And that, my friends, is where we never want to be. The sight and the stories of the poor of this world should always be on our hearts, always be seen and felt. This is not a good story about passing a person with a sign begging for help. This is not about seeing the person with the sign. This is about accepting the person with the sign as part of the sidewalk. Of course, if the rich man had felt grief and pity, he would probably have helped alleviate it. I think Jesus was telling us something else. Again, perhaps he was just raising his voice. Poor people deserve respect, kindness, consideration, and love. And I really don't want to be compared to the rich man. But about 85% of the world would see me as one. In fact, my grandson, Noah, said he learned that 95% of the people in the world would see me as wealthy. Me, retired, on a pension, living on Social Security, is richer than 6.5 to 7 billion people. Don't look at me like I'm crazy, Pam. You're right there with me. Every one of us would be considered wealthy. We are wealthier than around 7 billion people. And what do we do with our wealth? Well, I know I pretty much pay my bills, and with some leftover money, I get my hair and nails done, going out to eat every so often, into the movies. Oh yes, a couple vacations every year. It's a nice life, but it could be better. You know how? If I shared my wealth with the 7 billion people who have nothing. Wow, that is an overwhelming number, but let me talk you through a couple things that might pare it down a bit. And if you can't get over the 7 billion people figure, let me remind you of the words of Martin Luther, so you're able to listen to the rest of my sermon. You can't feed every beggar in the world, but you can feed the one at your gate. One day when Noah and I were talking about this, I remembered my son Craig has been sponsoring a child for years in South America. So Noah and I thought we would do the same. So we are now sponsoring Sergio in Mexico on $38 a month. I pay $28 and Noah pays $10, which is the equivalent to one of my nail appointments. Since we did this, one of Noah's friends was asking him about it. And I thought, the ripple effect, how interesting. It made me think about how actions could possibly be a jumping board for others to emulate. Did you know that even in this age of decline of church attendance, going to church is still one of the things that more U.S. citizens do than any other shared activity? That's right, more people show up in church each week than view any particular television show, participate in any volunteer activity, or even watch football on Sunday. Imagine for a moment harnessing that audience to help provide clean water, to sponsor a child, purchase animals so poor farmers can provide food and milk and eggs for their family. And then they shared with others so the ripple effect would go outside the churches and into all the communities. Imagine if our small community here decided to tackle one or two of these ministries. There would be 20 or 30 farmers out there with chickens and cows. A whole village would be turning on a tap for clean water instead of going to the watering hole that is shared with people bathing in it, washing in it, and the animals. There would be 20 or 30 Sergios who have clothes and food and school supplies. Just our little community. And then we share our ministry with others, and then they share the ripple effect. But it can't happen until someone starts it. Now I want to share something that you can share with your friends and relatives. Did you know that when we put our own troubles aside and focus our energy on being kind and helping others, our stress levels decrease? Kindness positively impacts hormonal levels in our bodies, leading to both mental and physical health benefits. For example, those who strive to be kind have 23% less cortisol, the stress hormone, and they age slower than the average population. Kindness also stimulates the production of serotonin, the feel-good hormone, helping calm the mind and elevate the mood. And not only do stress levels decrease, but so does the blood pressure and pain level. Oxytocin dilates blood vessels, which in turn helps to decrease blood pressure, and endorphins act as our body's natural painkillers. And if you're feeling a little sluggish, try spreading some kindness for a natural energy boost. So, what if we find ourselves a little rusty at flexing our kindness muscle? Don't despair. Kindness can be learned. Helen Wang, a clinical psychologist and authority on this, said, it's kind of like weight training. We found that people can actually build up their compassion muscle and respond to others suffering with care and desire to help. And another nice thing about being kind, she went on to say, is that it is contagious. It can spread like ripples, the ripple effect. Now try sharing that with your friends at a cocktail party. And now for my favorite part of the gospel, we do not have to wait to die to be with our Lord, or Abraham in this fact. We can be with him every day in his loving arms. Evidently, the powers that be changed this gospel a bit at one time. It actually read, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his bosom. That's right, not once, not twice. We are told that Lazarus is at the bosom of Abraham. It was censored because those words might lead to inappropriate thoughts about God. But is there a more comforting sight than a child being held by their parents, his arms close to their bosom, or chest, if you will? Now, is that not comforting? And we are able to be there every day because we do pay attention to those around us and help whenever we can. And we'll continue to do all the good works God has put on our hearts. And I have one more question for you, and I'll let you go. Did you have compassion not only for Lazarus, but for the rich man? Yes, the rich man. My heart broke because he could do nothing to save his family. He pleaded to have Abraham send Lazarus to his father's house, for I have five brothers that he may warn them so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and they have the prophets. They should listen to them. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. He couldn't share with his family that all the people are to be loved and cared for. He couldn't share that kindness and compassion are so very important in this world, and you must pay attention to the world around you. Let us not forget to share this with our loved ones, friends, and whoever. And let us always remember, we've been given all the warning we need. Amen.